Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 18 of the NXT Nightcap, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's Black and Gold brand. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 69 of WrestleSubtopia continues. Happy Wednesday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW continues. And, you know, last night was NXT, which featured a high-profile main event. They got a lot of play on Monday Night Raw featuring Johnny Gargano defending the NXT North American Championship against Bronson Reed. And this would promise to be a historic night one way or the other, as Bronson Reed's in-ring debut is 14 years ago yesterday on May 18th, 2007. And to possibly win his first major championship on NXT on the day of his wrestling debut would be pretty sweet. For those that watch the show, you know what happened. But for those that need that inside scoop, I got you covered towards the end of this episode as we will go in order from top to bottom. And let's take that deep dive into last night's episode of NXT going down live from the Capitol Wrestling Center in Orlando, Florida. And we kicked things off with Toni Storm versus Zoey Stark in a really good grudge match dating back to TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 2, the kickoff show a month ago. And Zoey Stark continues to impress every time she's in the ring, delivering picture-perfect missile drop kicks with precision to Toni Storm early on, including a crossbody on the outside. She goes for a kick, but Toni catches her and slams her back first onto the hardest part of the ring apron, of course. And Toni dominates for a bit, including a backbreaker that Zoey counters with a enziguri a short time later. As we go picture in picture, we come back and Zoey nails Toni Storm with a boot in the corner. And from there, this is a back-and-forth battle, both ladies trading shots. Forearms, uppercut, Zoey Stark lands a sliding knee to Toni Storm for a near fall, tries a half and half suplex that Toni blocks initially, but Zoey hits it a short time later. Toni counters with a German suplex of her own, goes for Storm Zero, and in the cleanest reversal of the night, Zoey Stark switches it into her Karana roll up for a near fall. Pretty cool. And the finishing sequence is Toni Storm lifting up Zoey Stark for some kind of twisting corkscrew DDT for the win. And I was pleasantly surprised because Toni Storm needed a win. I mentioned about a month ago that Toni Storm is too good to be the gatekeeper for the NXT women's division, that she should not be eating losses on a regular basis. She should be winning every now and then to have credibility as a performer. And now we have this feud leveled up 1-1. We could have the blow-off match, a takeover in your house, which could be a true breakthrough performance for Zoey Stark, who continues to impress every time I see her. She is the perfect hybrid of what you want in a performer. She can give you the high acrobatics from the top rope, but she can lay you out with the knee to the face with ease. And I love that versatility from Zoey Stark to get better every time she has a match. And Toni Storm is very seasoned, but she has a lot to offer still as a top tier star in the NXT women's division, the deepest division in WWE. And I cannot wait for the next chapter, which could very well happen at TakeOver In Your House next month, to really give them that ample time to put on a show in front of a big audience that can truly appreciate what they do between the ropes. Overall, a great opener to NXT and a must win for Toni Storm, and she delivered in a big way. Next up is prime target regarding the NXT championship match featuring Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor going down next Tuesday on NXT. And this was a great highlight package of what happened at TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 2 over a month and a half ago, and how Karrion Kross has Finn Balor's number. Finn thinks he has to win this time around. We hear from such luminaries such as Pat McAfee and Paul Heyman, and quoting Roman Reigns as to say he's interested in this match as well, because that could be future competition for him. So I love how important this match feels on paper, and I think they would deliver next Tuesday, sans all the commercials spliced in for good measure when this match kicks off, presumably in the main event spot. But the NXT production team, they never miss with these video packages to make every match feel big time and special. Whether it's a regular television show or a takeover, they make every potential marquee matchup that much more special. And I respect that crew for putting in that work on a regular basis. And I briefly want to go back to the opening match between Zoey Stark and Toni Storm, because we had a party crasher at the end of the match as Frankie Monet makes her world premiere, her in-ring debut next week. She had her dog Prince Presley and she's showboating and saying that she is the true star of this segment as she outshined Tony and Zoe Stark, which might be potential feuds down the road, and I won't be mad at it as we have a deep division to cover multiple feuds at the same time. Next up is Cameron Grimes, GameStop rich Cameron Grimes versus Jake Atlas. And Cameron Grimes teased the people by playing a highlight reel of Ted DiBiase's most embarrassing moments on the virtual video wall inside of the CWC. And it was a great way to embarrass DiBiase, but he paid for it in the end as he and Jake Atlas had a pretty good match, hard hitting throughout. Jake Atlas has a lot of potential, but not a lot of television time and character development to really get over in a big way. But when he is in there, you can see the flashes of brilliance he possesses as a performer as he delivers some stiff shots to Cameron Grimes early on, went for that rainbow DDT, but Cameron Grimes blocked it. And we had the great standing Spanish fly from Grimes to Jake Atlas. He went for the cave-in, but then Ted DiBiase's music hits, the limo pulls up, and the real Ted DiBiase enters the CWC for the first time to laugh in Cameron Grimes' face. Cameron freaks out as Jake Atlas does a springboard roll up for the win, and Cameron is angry. He tries to take another shot at Atlas, but he knocks him off the apron as Ted DiBiase leaves the building back in the limo to taunt Cameron Grimes some more as Cameron breaks down on the ground as the segment comes to an end. I laughed. It was a great segment. If you go on Twitter, there is a gif of this interaction, and you can hear the scream from Cameron. You can hear the laughter from DiBiase. That's how animated they were during this segment, which sets up the $1 million face-off next week. What does this mean? How will this story end? I don't know, but I don't care because I know it's going to be a satisfying ending one way or the other. Ted DiBiase and Cameron Grimes blessing us with these skits the past few weeks have been great, and I wanted to continue as long as possible because it's magic, and Cameron Grimes has personality for days. I do want him to be taken more seriously as an in-ring performer because he's really good when he's allowed to show up and show out in a big way, and maybe Ted could be his manager once they come to terms with the status of their millionaireship come next week. But that should be a lot of fun to see these two titans go at it, buck for buck, dollar for dollar. Next up is Alexander Wolfe from Imperium versus Killian Dane with Drake Maverick by his side. We had Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner with Alexander at ringside for this match, and this was fine. But once again, Alexander is scared to take the kill shot on Killian Dane. Their history dates back to Sanity several years ago on NXT, and he feels some kind of way about not hurting Killian Dane. At one point, he had him down, and we had Aichner introduce the steel chair in front of the referee, and the referee says, "You can't do this," but he blatantly ignores the referee, and he pays for it with a crossbody courtesy of Killian Dane as he scores the win. He gets out of there quickly, and it seems as if Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel are very forgiving of what happened, but I sensed trouble was ahead when Aichner and Bartel told Alexander Wolfe to get information for the Imperium pose, and as he did so, they attacked him from behind, beat his ass, laid him out with a European bomb, and he might be excommunicated from Imperium. I don't know how the longest reigning NXT UK champion in history, Walter, feels about this, but it does leave a cracked door open, an open spot for Imperium, and there are some Brits who could fill that void. And I wonder who that could be. We shall see in due time as this storyline develops in a good way on NXT. Next up is quite possibly the most physical match of the night outside of the main event, which was Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher versus the good old the Fantasmas, Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. My God, what a tag team match as Ciampa immediately manhandled Joaquin Wilde at the opening bell and made the hot tag to Raul Mendoza. And Mendoza was the punching bag of all punching bags as Ciampa punched this dude in the face, busted him wide open. He was bleeding everywhere. He was cleaned up after the commercial break. But beforehand, he got his ass handed to him by Ciampa. Thatcher gets the hot tag, and we have stereo ankle locks, courtesy of Ciampa and Thatcher to Legado We have stereo pins that did not count because that's illegal. All 4 men in the ring at the same time, laying in shots, and Thatcher delivering an enziguri to Joaquin Wilde in a crazy spot as well. As we go to commercial break, we come back and Ciampa is running wild, delivering charging clotheslines to Mendoza and Wilde repeatedly with zero cardio chill. He was a fucking machine before delivering a double clothesline for good measure. And he went back to work on Mendoza, and Mendoza was not scared to chop, to slap, to punch Ciampa back. Every time he took a shot, he gave it right back to Ciampa. This was a bruising battle and quite possibly Raul Mendoza's finest performance to date. And that is really saying something, because this dude is very flashy and dynamic, but last night he was bruising. He was taking shots, giving them right back, and surviving. Delivers a sliding knee to Ciampa, gets attacked to Joaquin Wilde, and he and Thatcher work over each other for a bit. And this is a great sequence as Joaquin Wilde delivers a flip dive onto Thatcher, tries to get back in the ring, gets hit with Willow's bell from Ciampa, but at like the last possible nanosecond, Mendoza makes the save, and this match becomes even better. But then we get bullshit down the stretch as Grizzly Young Veterans, who have every right to be mad because a few weeks ago on NXT, Ciampa and Thatcher cheated to win by using a shoe to beat Grizzly Young Veterans. So they attacked Thatcher from behind, ran away from the scene, and that allowed Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde to hit that leg sweep into a dropkick for the 1-2-3 on Ciampa. What a win. They have cemented themselves as the true number one contender for the NXT Tag Team Championship. They will face MSK for those titles 2 weeks from Tuesday on NXT, and that should be a hell of a match, and the crowd will be pro Legado de Fantasma. Just a wild hunch. MSK have supporters, but I know how the CWC rolls when it comes to MSK. They tend to boo a lot, and I expect nothing less in 2 weeks' time. But I like how NXT is setting the stage for contenders when it comes to Legado and Grizzly Young Veterans and Ciampa and Thatcher, that you have to line up people week to week, have a title defense on television, set up takeover in your house a few weeks later. And I still think it's going to be Ciampa and Thatcher in that match against MSK. And I could see a title change and maybe a double turn if the Boo Birds don't quiet down against MSK, but we shall see about that. But I'm very happy to see the NXT tag team division thriving, because it was a year and a half ago when it looked pretty damn dire in terms of legit contenders. And there's a lot of depth there, which makes me very happy. And when you can do one contenders match 1 week, a championship match the next, followed up with another contenders match for takeover, that shows you how deep this division is. And the contenders can be varied, and they can offer so many different challenges to MSK in the best possible way. So I really appreciate the depth of this division, and it makes me so sad for Raw and SmackDown. They don't have that same level of depth and variety on their shows, which is sorely needed right now. But at least NXT was very self-aware. They replenished, they restocked, they reloaded, and it's good to go heading into the summer season with legit tag teams vying for those titles and gunning for MSK at the exact same time, which could be the twistiest double turn of the year, depending how the CWC reacts in the weeks to come. Next up is Saraya versus Aaliyah, and this is a mauling by Saraya. Aaliyah had maybe 2 hope spots, and then she got drop kicked to death 2 ways to Sunday, and that Saito suplex from Saraya is pretty damn awesome. Saraya is a great wrestler, but here is the one criticism I have. She needs more spark as a babyface to really let her personality shine. She needs a spark of charisma. I know it's there and she's going to figure it out, but it reminds me of Io Shirai early on. Despite how great she is, she flipped that switch to a heel and she let loose and was able to be herself and was able to lock in as a babyface would need to be, because it was very hard for fans to boo her because she's so fucking awesome and charismatic as hell. And Saraya will get there eventually. She's just had her 3rd match on NXT TV, so she's got to be 1 with the camera and 1 with the people eventually, and she will be a superstar that is going to be on the ascent towards that championship between now and sometime next year. Next up is my favorite love story in professional wrestling today, as the Indi Hartwell and Dexter Lumis story continues. And we had a good twist last night as we had Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, the newly minted NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, having a spa day at this ritzy resort. And as they're getting rubbed down, getting the massages, Dexter Lumis is actually offering a temple massage to Indy Hartwell. And unbeknownst to her, she is saying that Dexter's a loser, he's a creep, and Candice was right about him. And for the first time in history, Dexter Lumis projected sadness on his face and he walked away dejected. I'm like, oh, damn, you broke his heart, Indy, and you didn't even know it. But fortunately, we went back to the spa day later on in the show, and the masseuse tells Candice, ma'am, your credit card declined. And Candice says, it must be Austin Theory buying boxes of pizza. It's okay. We got it covered. But then the masseuse digs into apparently the last 10 transactions. I don't know how she did it, but she says, did you buy chocolates and flowers 3 weeks ago? And Indy says, 3 weeks ago? So you were the one that sent the flowers to Ember and Shotzi, not Dexter, which means he still loves me. And she walks away happy, and I'm happy because she's going to get her man. But the question is, will she still have a man when this is over? Because he was so sad when she said those mean words without her knowing it at the time that he was in the room giving her a massage, which was romantic and a little creepy at the same time. But this story must continue, and you don't trademark Index for no reason, WWE. So I expect a romantic payoff eventually as these crazy lovebirds get together sooner or later. Now, it's going to be a tall mountain for Indy to climb because this dude might move on to someone else after getting heartbroken last night. But the payoff is going to be them together. The kiss is going to be everything. The fans are going to go off in the best possible way. And I love the slow burn is torturing me every single week in the best possible way because I am a sucker for a good love story. And Indy has been tremendous with the character work in Dexter. Hey, he shows versatility as well by selling sadness, which is a rarity for him. So the sooner they get together, they make out, they hang out together. And dare I say, this might be the best coupling in NXT history outside of Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. So let's go for it. I am invested. I'm all in. And the social media game by everybody involved is so on point. And yes, Beth, you're right. Index is greater than Bennifer all day, every day. Next up is the official in-ring debut of Hit Row, as it was Top Dollar, AJ Francis, and Ashanti the Adonis versus some 205 Live alumni, Tony Nese and Aria Davari. And this was a showcase for Top Dollar. AJ's got size, he's got strength, and he's got charisma as a big man as he delivered a double fallaway slam to both Nese and Davari for a near fall. And Ashanti has great drop kicks. He is very talented in the ring as well. But this was the Top Dollar show as he laid out Davari with a AA into a brainbuster for the win. This was impressive by Hit Row in a short setting to really get them over as a unit. And everybody spit their bars one time in the ring. And Isaiah Swerve Scott has his eyes on Bronson Reed versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT North America Championship, which was next. And he definitely has his eyes set on some championship gold in the very near future. And I am all for that, as he versus Gargano or Bronson Reed would be amazing if given the time on a takeover, which might not be that far away if everything goes according to plan. But let's dive into the main event of the evening, which is Johnny Wrestling versus the Colossus, Bronson Reed, for the NXT North American Championship. And this was a great cage match with a shitload of interference courtesy of Austin Theory trying to block the door, trying to help Johnny get through the door at one point, climbing the cage and providing assisted offense on behalf of Johnny Wrestling, which was very excessive. But Bronson Reed made him pay for it in the end, which made me very happy. But the body of this match was really good between Johnny and Bronson, as Johnny grounded Bronson early on with a chop block to the left knee, had him hung up on the ropes, proceeded to pounce on him throughout the picture-in-picture. Bronson makes a great comeback, hits a DVD for a near fall, and Johnny is putting on a goddamn show with incredible feats of strength, including a top rope powerbomb. He delivers a poison Rana at one point as well, which is crazy. Bronson Reed follows things up with an avalanche powerbomb of his own. Johnny goes up top to hit the one final beat, flies into it, not just snaps into it via the drape, but he flies into that DDT as Bronson Reed kicks out at 2¾. Austin Theory trying to climb inside the cage at one point, but Bronson Reed knocks his ass over and he gets on the apron and splashes Johnny back first, which immobilizes Johnny for the rest of this match. Bronson goes to the top rope, hits a tsunami splash, and wins the NXT North American Championship. We have the pyro go off in the ring as the cage is lifted up high above the ceiling. The fans are going crazy as NXT goes off the air at the top of the hour with Bronson Reed celebrating as the new North American champion. It makes me very happy because a part of me wanted this to happen at TakeOver Stand and Deliver last month, but nothing beats having your in-ring debut 14 years ago to the day and winning your first major championship in NXT. That was kismet. It was meant to be. A part of me wish he got to kiss his wife when NXT went off air, but I understand why we had to cut so quickly to the next movie airing on USA Network. Maybe we get that via a WWE Backstage exclusive, which drops on Twitter or YouTube shortly after NXT goes off the air. But I love the moment nonetheless. A long time coming. I've been a big supporter of Bronson Reed since last summer. He had a breakthrough performance at TakeOver 30 in that ladder match for the North America Championship, using Candice LeRae as a human jetpack to fly off that ladder and splash Johnny Gargano for the near win was awesome. And that profile prior to that matchup really gave me insight into Bronson Reed, the man, the husband, the performer. And that's all we need, a reason to connect and care. And I've been a big fan of his ever since. And he was due a month ago, but having it happen on the day of his in-ring debut makes it that much sweeter. And for Johnny Wrestling, I have been clamoring for this title change for 3 months now, dating back to TakeOver Vengeance Day when Kushida had him beat and it did not happen. Bronson Reed had him beat and it did not happen, but he lost last night. And now he can move on to bigger and better things. Being a bit more serious would help as well, even though I love the comedy of the way. But it was starting to run its course with this particular title run. He's a 3-time champion, nothing else to prove as the North American champion. It's time to move on to bigger and better things. People want him to leave NXT and go to the main roster. We got a taste of that for 1 week a couple of years ago, but I simply do not know how the main roster would treat Johnny Gargano. That is the greatest mystery of all, and he probably would like to retire in NXT for that very reason, but he needs something fresh and new to do, and hopefully he can find it in the weeks and months to come because he has been Mr. NXT for a very long time, as he is responsible for some of the most prolific matches in that brand's history over the past 5 or so years. But now it's time to find that freshness again. And yes, comedy works for the way, but I want Johnny to focus on what can I do? What can I offer someone, whether in this place, which I have called home for a very long time, or Raw or SmackDown, to say Johnny Wrestling's got this. And that's completely dependent on the WWE creative process for both shows. He can get the job done. I can offer you at least 5 feuds off the bat in terms of who Johnny could work with in a believable way. But if he chooses to be an NXT lifer, I don't blame him whatsoever, because you can't trust the main roster and how they push talent graduating from NXT. It can be a success story for some, for others, not so much. But the success of this brand is basically refreshing every 2 years. And it's happened every time I've watched NXT for the last 5 or so years. A refresh in 2016, a refresh in 2018. And we are 2 years off from another refresh of a hard reset of what makes NXT NXT. A lot of people have been on this show for 4 or more years. And that's impeding the growth of the third brand, because it's all about change eventually. And yes, new faces have popped in. It's been great, but it's still the old faces dominating in some ways. And that needs to change very soon as well. If NXT wants to be treated as an equal third brand to Raw and SmackDown, as Triple H infamously said several years ago, development of my ass when it came to TakeOver, you need to have a draft in October that drafts everybody from these shows, that Raw and SmackDown talent could go to NXT and it's not a demotion. The NXT can feed the main shows and still be a main show itself. And that equality would help this brand grow and be different moving forward. Yes, the faces have changed in some ways, but it's status quo in other ways as well. And that needs to change moving forward to really make this third brand stand out as it really tries to find its footing in place on Tuesday nights. Criticism aside, I thought this was another good episode of NXT, which sets the stage for next week's NXT Championship match between champion Karrion Kross and challenger Finn Balor. Also on tap is Bobby Fish versus Pete Dunne, which should be quite the technical battle. Also on tap is Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon facing Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez in a possible number one contenders match for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. I wonder how Raquel feels about trying to be two belts Gonzalez and trying to appease Dakota at the same time, which could be a double turn towards a future title match between those two down the road, which should be a lot of fun. And we cannot forget the in-ring debut of Frankie Monet and Prince Presley, which should be a blast as well. So NXT is trying to stack the card high as the NBA playoffs gets underway on TNT and ESPN starting on Saturday officially. And on that note, this wraps up episode number 18 of the NXT Nightcap, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's Black and Gold brand. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at Lady Wrestling X on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestleSubtopia. They can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows that drop on the semi-daily, recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, and Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. Feel free to download past episodes on all of your favorite podcast directories dating back to season one as we get ready for AEW's Double or Nothing in a couple of weeks' time on May 30th on pay-per-view and BR Live. You know what to do. Search WrestleSubtopia and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. I'll be back tomorrow morning with episode number 17 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TNT. Until then, enjoy your hump day, stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.